All right?
All right.
Oh, man.
We're gonna need another round of applause. Good evening, Ben, old fellow.
Good evening, Nathan, old chum.
Ben, I couldn't help but notice the rather distinguished headgear that you're wearing.
Oh, this. I guess I decided I'd give him something to taco about.
Seriously, Ben, why are you wearing a taco hat?
Oh, Nathan, you want me to spill the beans? Oh, speaking of suave, sophisticated headgear, Nathan, it looks like you visited Ye Old Hat Shop as well.
Well, yes, Ben, you must be referring to my Egyptian pharaoh's headdress.
Yeah, I am.
I'd say it was unfashionable, but then I'd really be in denial.
Nathan, you are a card.
I have some real mummy issues, don't I?
Hey, what on earth are you guys doing?
Jake, greetings, old pal, and salutations.
Dear Jake, how lovely to see you.
What are you doing?
Introducing the round table, dear boy.
All I hear is a bunch of lame, stupid hat jokes.
Stupid hats, stupid jokes? I don't see any stupid hats, Jake. Do you see any stupid hats, Nathan? Looking out there?
I don't see any stupid hats, Ben.
None. We must have left our stupid hats at home, Jake.
All we have is these awesome hats, Jake.
The only lame joke here is your lack of a awesome hat, Jake.
Not a fan of the milliner's art, are we, Jake?
Milliner's art?
A hat maker?
Yes, Jake, a hat maker.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone knows what a milliner is.
There are those who make great hats, and there are those who wear them,
and
dear
then,
boy.
And then there are those like yourself, dear boy.
Who do neither, dear boy.
Call me dear boy once more.
Temper, temper, Jake.
Temper, temper.
No need for jealousy.
There's really no need, just because we're wearing awesome hats, and you're not.
You know, Ben, maybe there is a need for jealousy.
Guys. Stop. This is stupid. Why are we starting the round table like this?
Well, Jake, it's right here in the script.
If you'd read it, Jake, you would have known. You see, Nathan and Ben enter wearing extremely fashionable hats.
Yeah, I see it.
It's all right there in black and white, my muscle-bound amigo.
Okay, but it says fashionable hats, so first of all, these are incredibly stupid hats.
The very idea!
I never!
Second of all, why does the script have you wearing hats in the first place? Like, what's the point?
It can say whatever we want, can't it, dear boy?
We wrote it, dear boy.
Okay, but why?
Because you're not the only one with fashion, Jake!
I can look pretty good in my taco face hat.
And I can look amazing in my pharaoh headdress.
That's why we wrote them into the script.
Because the round table is our world, Jake. We can make it whatever we want.
Well, if you wanted the people to think those hats were cool, you might want to have wanted to have written a different audience.
Jake.
I don't think you understand, Jake.
Perhaps we can explain it a different way.
Ooh. We wrote the script for tonight's round table, and we wrote things to make us fashionable.
I wear a taco face hat.
I wear a Pharaoh headdress.
I wear a taco face hat.
I wear a Pharaoh headdress.
We are where fashion is at.
Thanks to the hat we possess.
Thanks to my taco face hat.
Thanks to my Pharaoh headdress. We're
as smart as Ivy League professors. When we wear hats, we're such fancy dressers.
I wear a taco face hat.
I wear a Pharaoh headdress.
I wear a taco face hat.
I wear a Pharaoh headdress.
We are where fashion is at.
Thanks to the hats we possess.
Thanks to my taco face hat.
Thanks to my Pharaoh headdress. Jake, you're married. And
somehow,
you don't repulse her.
But you could be handsome as Ben Salser.
I wear the hat club.
We're so strong and able, like we scripted in tonight's round table.
I wear a taco face hat.
I wear a Pharaoh headdress.
I wear a taco face hat.
I wear a Pharaoh headdress.
I wear a taco face hat.
You wear a taco.
You
wear a taco face hat.
I wear a Pharaoh headdress. Taco face hat.
I wear a Pharaoh headdress.
Taco
face hat. Welcome again to the round table. I'm Nathan. This is Jake.
Hi.
That's Ben. Gentlemen, the audience may or may not have noticed, but we began tonight with a little skit, a little song about hats.
Yeah, yep. I think we did.
Now, what possessed us to do that?
Great question.
I blame Jake.
Yeah, Jake's always forcing us to do stuff like that.
Okay, so we wish
you had a hat now, don't you, Jake?
I did so well. We started the show with a song about silly hats because it's our show. We can do whatever we want.
That's right. Baby.
We can start with magic tricks, we can start with pies to the face, and we can start with absolutely ridiculous, maddening songs about silly, stupid hats, because it's our show. We do what we want.
We are the creators.
We do what we want.
It's our sandbox. We get to make it. We get to play in it.
It's our canvas to paint upon.
We don't owe anybody anything.
Yeah, baby.
That's not true. We actually do owe the people who came tonight something, right? We made a promise. The promise was a night of conversation, comedy, and Christ. And if it doesn't have those three things, we've broken a promise.
Yeah, actually, we can't do whatever we want.
Turns out there are some laws governing what we do. There's, like, laws of nature, for instance.
Yeah, for instance, we can't just start flying into space.
Laws, like laws, you know, like government-type laws.
Yeah, so we're not shooting off any guns in here or smoking any cigarettes or anything like that.
Yeah. There's laws of propriety. They're like what you consider appropriate or inappropriate.
For instance, Nathan and I won't be picking our noses tonight.
It's true. It's true.
Very true.
Within the bounds of these laws, though, we can be really creative. We could decide we're going to do a whole song, for example, just about silly hats.
Yep. Now imagine we had no bounds at all.
Imagine there were no laws governing us.
Imagine we could do whatever we wanted.
Yeah. Actually, don't imagine that. That would be horrible.
Yeah. Instead, imagine God.
God has no bounds. He's the one who makes the laws. God created us, and he created everything for his own glory, for his own enjoyment.
And today, we are talking about that. Today, we are talking about the mystery of creation.
Mystery of creation.
So, what's the mystery?
Well, there are a lot of mysteries, actually. Why did God create us? How did he do it? What does God want with us now that he has created us? And what was it like before he created us or anything else?
What was it like before God created us or anything else? I want everybody to close your eyes. I'm absolutely serious, everybody. All right?
Yeah. Close your eyes.
Close your eyes. I'll tell you when to open them. I want you to picture a time before time. I want you to picture darkness.
So it's not really like the darkness you're seeing now. That's just like the back of your eyelids.
Yeah, so imagine now a deeper darkness. Endless nothingness. No trees, no animals, no solid ground, no stars.
Just nothing, unending nothing.
It's an abyss, it's a black hole that just keeps going and going.
Then God said, "Let there be light." You can open your eyes.
Okay, you already see how there are mysteries we don't understand.
So what was it actually like before there were things? Can you even wrap your head around that? I don't think you can.
No, but the answer is God was there. God has always been there. God has no beginning, and out of nothing, he created a blank canvas of formless chaos that he set into order. Out of that darkness, he made a universe, our world.
Tonight we'll be talking about three aspects of that work of creation. We'll talk about why God created us, how God created us, and we'll talk about what we should do about that.
Okay, so let's start with why. Why did God create us?
Was it because he was lonely? Was it because he needed us somehow? Was it because he was bored? You know, there was no one besides him, so he got bored.
Was God getting restless? He had nothing better to do? He needed a new challenge?
Does anybody think that's the actual reason? That God was bored? Of course not.
No. So last time we talked about who God is, and we talked about some of his attributes, like he's holy, he's loving, all those kinds of things.
Does someone who's actually perfect, who's perfectly perfect, get bored? Do they get lonely?
We get bored because we're imperfect. Our imaginations are dull. Our minds are limited. We need stimulation.
And we get lonely because we're not self-sufficient. We're made to need things from other people, to need God. We need things we don't have and things that we can't get on our own.
But God is not like that. God has everything he needs. God is everything he needs.
At the last roundtable, we spent some time talking about the Trinity.
Yeah, I seem to remember something about the Trinity being a mystery.
That's how it's been for men through our whole history.
Okay. One thing that's not a mystery about the Trinity is that there are three persons, and those three persons love each other. The Father loves the Son loves the Father, the Spirit loves the Son and the Father, and so on.
God is one God with three persons, so within God himself, there is community going on, right?
Yeah, and like so many things about God and the Trinity, that goes beyond our understanding too.
God is one, but he's also three, and there's great love and fellowship amongst the three.
Point being, God didn't need to make the world to have something to do. He didn't need to create mankind to have someone to hang out with, someone to love.
Because he already had all that. He had it in himself.
God doesn't owe us. God doesn't need us.
So then, why did he make us?
Well, for his own glory, for his own enjoyment, because he's free, he's happy, he likes to do things, he likes to invent things, he creates things out of the overflow of love that he has within himself, and he loves his creation.
Now, does that mean that we're just something unimportant, an afterthought?
Of course not. We are made in God's image. God made us after himself. He loves us, he cares for us very much, and we're going to talk more about that, but it's important for now to understand that he really doesn't owe us anything.
So for now, get this in your minds. God is a fun, happy, creative God. He loves to make beautiful, fun, awesome things. He doesn't have to, but he loves to, and so he does.
So that's why God created us. For his own glory, out of the overflowing bounty of his creativity and his enjoyment. Now let's move on to our second question. How did God create everything?
Simple answer to that. Through his word, he spoke everything into existence over the course of 7 days.
Jake, if I had my idiot glasses right now, I would totally put them on. Because you know what? I don't think that's how it actually worked. I'm pretty sure you're leaving out a little bitty thing called evolution.
Oh, right. Well, I always wear my idiot glasses. And so I agree with you, Ben. I've heard about this. First there was nothing, and then everything evolved over trillions of years, from simple life forms into complex animals. Baby?
It's science, baby.
Ah, man. It's so scientific. I'm with you on this one, Ben.
Yep. Guys that wear cool glasses, or ought to be wearing cool glasses, we stick together. So sorry, Jake. We don't believe in miracles like God creating things from nothing.
Okay, so you believe things instead create themselves over billions of years?
Yep-a-doodle.
Yep-a-dee-doo-da.
Yeah. Yep.
In fact, Jake, Ben, where's our cake ingredients?
Oh, man. I'm glad you asked, Nathan. Yeah.
We've decided to make you a cake to show there's no hard feelings, Jacob.
Even though your views are silly.
Yes, I mean, opinions are dumb.
They really are. We got the cake mix. We got the oil right here. We got all we need. We got an egg. We got a bowl to mix things in.
Oh, that's, Ben, you went above and beyond, my friend.
I'm very thoughtful. All right.
All right.
Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Buddy.
Pal.
I wish I had a stick to poke it. What happens next?
Huh?
It's not a cake. Are you gonna put the ingredients together? What's gonna happen?
What? Why would we do that?
Because
it's a cake.
Yeah. It's
a bunch of ingredients.
Something has to happen to make it a cake. What are you gonna do? Wave a magic wand over it and transform it into a finished cake?
No.
That'd be
Jake.
A cool trick.
No.
We just said we don't believe in miracles, Jake.
So what are we going to do?
Well, we just figured if we waited, you know, give or take a few billion years, then microscopic cake forms might evolve from the mix on the stage and come together. I mean, you never know. And voila, a cake for Jake.
Voila, a cake for Jake.
I don't know if you realize this, but I don't have a trillion years to find out about that.
Not even a billion?
My kids have school tomorrow. Oh.
Well, I mean,
I'm not going to be here all night.
You're lost, pal.
Some friend you are, Jake. Wow.
You know, I think it's kind of funny. Just going to point this out. If a magician transformed these ingredients into a cake in an instant, you'd say it's a miracle, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But if they make the exact same transformation over a trillion years, you'd call that science.
Science.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're okay with miracles, just so long as they're long, slow, boring, stupid miracles that take place over billions of years.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, instant miracles, completely unbelievable, though.
But slow, boring, scientific miracles.
That makes a lot of sense.
So much more sense.
Yeah.
Well, that's absurd, and I've had enough absurdity on this platform tonight. I am over it. We will have no more absurdity. Zero absurdity. Giant Talking Twinkie, come arrest these men now! Me up here by myself. Should do that more often, I think. Okay, so God spoke the universe into existence from nothing over 7 days. using just the power of his word. And who is the word of God? Jesus. It's the Sunday school answer of Sunday school answers. God made the world through Jesus, the eternal word of God. He spoke it into existence. He keeps it in existence with his word, with Jesus. God made the world, and anyone who says that's impossible, it has to be evolution, they still want to believe in something that's impossible. They just want to believe if it's slow and boring and like over such a long period of time their minds can't comprehend it, that it's any less or special, right? It's still a miracle. Don't fall for the dumb idea of slow, boring miracles being more possible than fast ones. That's not the way things work. Anyway, back to the idea of God being a bountiful, beautiful, loving, fun creator. The world that we made is full of majesty. It's full of awe. It's full of beauty. Every day, nonstop. Y'all saw the rainbow coming in, right? Right? Every day, every moment of every day, there are sunsets and sunrises, new ones being painted around the world as it spins. And it never stops. A new one each day for us, every morning and every night. But it just never stops. God is full of creativity, always painting and erasing masterpieces over and over and over again on different canvases across the world. He makes flowers to bloom. He has galaxies swirling in the cosmos billions of miles away from us. Everything from the wings of a butterfly, unique patterns of snowflakes, all kinds of things that we never even get to notice or see. We have a very fun God who does all kinds of crazy things for his enjoyment. There are monsters dwelling at the bottom of the ocean that nobody's ever seen. Nobody's ever laid their eyes on that sort of thing but God. There are stars that nobody has ever put their eyes on. Planets nobody can go to. God does all this stuff for himself because he just likes to be creative and he likes to enjoy things. And God does a lot of crazy, silly, fun things too. Like, y'all seen those birds of paradise do their dances, right? Or y'all know the platypus? The platypus is a pretty ridiculous animal. I mean, you can't think that we serve a humorless God when he created the platypus.
Some joke!
Ladies and gentlemen, it looks like we have a platypus.
That's me. Some joke, huh?
What?
Anytime a pastor or a Sunday school teacher needs an example of God's humor and creativity, they pick me. Like I'm just a dumb joke.
You're not a dumb joke. You're an awesome joke.
Well, don't worry. I'm not going to stand here and tell you about it.
That's good, because we
why,
need to...
Why tell you about it when I could sing? I'm a platypus, and I do not like that because I got the bill of a duck, I got a beaver tail, I see myself in the mirror and I wanna wail. I'm so strange, so unusual, so weird, sometimes I wish I'd disappeared, cause I do not fit, no, not one whit, not even a little bit. I don't fit in. I got these big fat flippers on the ends of my legs. And I'm a monotreme. That means that I lay eggs. Which is really strange because I am a mammal. You know, like a goat or a whale or a camel. When I walk, people chuckle because I walk upon my knuckles. On my ankle, there's a venomous fur. And I've got some warm biofluorescent fur. That means it glows, but it's not that weird. Flying squirrels have it too. There's no teeth a-chomping inside of my head. I got these plate-like things that grind my bread. Oh, and by the way, I don't eat bread. I mean, maybe I would try bread if you gave it to me, but I eat insects and crayfish and shrimp and worms. Yes, they're in my duck bill, I can confirm. I got electrolocation so I can hunt crustaceans, which I slaughter underwater. They're a taste sensation. I guess I don't fit in. No, I don't fit in. I'm so strange that it feels like a sin. Sometimes I think I exist just to be on a list of things that are weird.
Why don't you grow a beard?
Who are you?
Huh? Me? Oh, boy. I'll tell you who I am.
Okay, so tell me.
I'm the goat. I'm the goat. I'm the greatest of all time. Yeah, I'm nature at its prime. I'm grazing farmers, raising me and praising my utility, humility, nobility. Saying I'm the man because I eat 10 cans. Bye.
Wow, you are so cool. I wish you had a school. You could be my teacher. I could learn to be a normal creature. I'd lose all my shame, put my name in the game, stop sitting on the bleachers, go from independent films to showing up in major features.
But I'm a mighty fine example of a bovine. Never lying, over crying, never say die. Got a crazy eye. Horns like thorns, come at me, you be torn. Got grooves, got the moves, come at me, you airborne. Like this.
Well, I'm tripping on my flippers and I'm flailing with my tail. It's a big fail. Feel like I'm in platypus jail. I can't grow hoofs or horns or a beard. So what do I do if I want to be revered?
Yeah, I know you're yearning to start learning from the perfect beast just to be released. Have your dignity increased. Get your past grease burning with the flame for fame. Well, listen to my brilliant plan. Eat a tin can.
I don't think just, I can do this.
Just eat it.
How do you do this? Do you even really eat these things?
What? How dare you?
Are you just putting me on?
I'm the goat. What? I'm the goat. I'm the goat. Yeah, I'm bringing all the fire. I'm a high flyer, rising higher, sharper than a briar. Now you calling me a liar. You start a war. Better watch out. You don't want to hear me
roar.
Oh, no. Okay, Mr. Lion. I admit I play the fool. Goats are not the king of beasts. Hey, we're not even cool. I took my boasting far too far. Don't want to start a war. Please don't take it personal. There is no need to
roar.
Whoa! The goat man lied to me. He wasn't what he said. And the lion sure is scary. If he kills me, I'll be dead. Goat man, tell me truly, do you really eat tin cans?
They give me indigestion. They're not in my diet plan. I wanted to be awesome, but it was just my pride.
Yeah, well, if that lion eats us, then we will both have died.
I guess that we should be content. God made us both this way.
I think you're right. Excuse me, sir. I wonder what you'd say.
Mr. Lion, we're just dying for some healthy validation. Please tell us that you think we're a great part of God's creation.
He's gonna tell us.
He looks pretty hungry.
Maybe he'll eat you.
Well,
cause goat meat's kinda gamey.
Well, platypus is too.
Oh, we'll just back away from him. Won't bother him no more. There's no need for aggression. We can show ourselves the
roar.
All right, that was fun.
If by fun you mean it was a demented PBS kids show, then yeah.
That's always what we mean.
Is there anything else we want to say about how God created the world, Jake?
Well, it might be worth saying that the world is not God. How about that?
Okay, what do we mean by that?
We mean...
just that.
We mean the world isn't God. There's a lot of religions that think the world is God. You got your Hinduism, you know, everything is God. God is everything. And that's called pantheism.
Right. Many Eastern religions are that way. It's you and me and the stars and the stage and the lights. Everything are all just pieces, fragments of the divine essence or something.
Now, don't get confused. Christians believe that God is omnipresent, that he is omnipresent, that he is everywhere, that he sees everything. But that doesn't mean that everything is God.
We just call this the creator-creature distinction. It's a really important doctrine, actually.
So, for instance, we believe man was made in God's image. But there's a big difference between being made in God's image and being God, or even being part of God.
The things that God created are good. They're beautiful, they're fun, they're many things. But they're also just things. They're created.
Which is worth saying, because that's just one of those basic things that a lot of people get wrong.
And you got your popular movies, Star Wars, Avatar, the blue people, you know, that are teaching God is the world and you're one with God.
And that's a lot of garbage.
That is a lot of garbage. Garbage. Okay, so... we talked about why God created us.
For his own glory and enjoyment.
And we talked about how God created us.
Yeah, in 7 days from nothing by the power of his word, in a world full of beauty and creativity.
Now let's talk about our final point of the evening, which is what we should do about it. So, what should we do about it?
Well, that's kind of the whole point of the Bible, isn't it? It's like the whole point of human existence. We were made to worship God, to enjoy and care for the wonderful world that he made, and to bring him glory with our lives by loving and obeying him.
Everything he created has a responsibility to do that, from the lion to the platypus to the amoeba to the sycamore tree.
But, as we've already said, mankind, you and me, we have a special responsibility because we were made in God's image.
So Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
Okay, so what does that mean?
It means that every man, woman, and child has dignity and worth. It means our lives belong to God and they're precious to him in a way that animal lives just aren't.
It means we reflect God's character in a way the animals don't. In our ability to reason, our ability to create stuff, our consciences, and other things.
Being made in God's image means we represent God, like we're his representatives to the rest of creation. We show some of his qualities and his attributes, and we have a responsibility to do his will on earth, to obey him. But we don't do it perfectly because sin.
But we still reflect his image in some sense, no matter what, even the worst of us. We all reflect God's character.
Human beings are the lords of creation. God just made us that way.
And if we're in Christ, our broken ability to reflect God's image is being fixed, although it will never be totally repaired this side of heaven.
If we're in Christ, God's our Father. And what a Father he is. He's gracious, he's bountiful, he's creative, he's loving, he's joyful, he's generous.
So maybe some of us, maybe some of you had stingy dads or mean dads or absent dads, and you might be tempted to think, oh, God's a father like that. Like, he's stingy, he's mean, he's absent. But when we're tempted to think that way, what we should do is look at the creation and say, does that match up? It doesn't.
All of creation is stamped with God's love, with his bigness, his immenseness, his generosity.
It's, of course, also stamped with something else, too, with destruction and ruin and sorrow.
We ruined it. When Adam ate the forbidden fruit, we fell, and creation fell with him, fell into sin. Sin ruined the world.
Sin ruined, marred this beautiful thing that God made.
Sin brought thistles and thorns.
Sin brought cancer.
Sin brought divorce and fatherlessness and motherlessness.
Sin brought death.
But there's a lot about this world that still bears the stamp of God's awesome design.
And there's a lot that's broken too.
But even in the brokenness, we see what a great father God is.
Because he wasn't content to let the world sit in ruin forever.
Even though that's exactly what we deserved.
God loves his creation. He loves his sons and daughters. He sent his only son to die for us, to appease his anger at us, to let us live redeemed lives of obedience to him. And one day he's going to remake the world, all of it, as something more glorious than we can possibly imagine.
And that is the mystery of creation. Let's sum it up.
Okay, God's a creative, fun God. He can do whatever he wants, and he does, and he made us in his image, and that means we're like him, and we get to be creative like him.
That sums it up. And, that also means we can end this show exactly the way we want, right, Ben, old chum?
You said it, Nathan, old pal.
I hope you're not thinking what I think you're thinking.
Well, if we were going to think, we'd need our caps to do any thinking, right?
I mean, I nearly forgotten about our awesome hats.
Yes, well, it's hard to forget them.
I could never really forget about your awesome pharaoh headdress, Nathan.
I could never forget about your taco face hat, Ben.
Oh, man.
We are a couple of good-looking guys.
You said it.
Try to restrain yourselves.
It's almost dangerous to be this good-looking.
Jake, did you say try to restrain yourself?
Yeah.
Somebody preached a sermon on jealousy and selfish ambition this morning, Jake.
I promise you.
Just preaching to yourself. That's the way to do it. That's good. That's the way to do it. Listen, hey, Ben, what if we help a fella out?
I think we could, just this once.
Yeah, you can have your hat, too, Jake.
Guys, that's not... No. Please don't. I don't need to steal any attention.
That's right, we got you, bro. No problemo.
We wrote the script for tonight's roundtable. We wrote in things to make Jake fashionable. Hey, multicolored squid hat, 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 hey, where's the taco face that I wear it? Where's a multicolored hat? Yes, he wears a multicolored hat.
That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Should we do an encore? They want an encore, man. Come on, Jake.
No. I want the goat song again.
All right. Somebody else has to wear the multicolored squid hat. You young lady right there. All right.
We wrote the script for tonight's roundtable. We wrote in things to
Caroline, Take a bow, Caroline.
Take a bow.
You better get up here, MC.
So how about that? Did y'all have fun? Yes. Give it up for the hippie squid. Give it up. Give it up for... Maybe it's the way I'm holding it. Give it up for Serpentor. Give it up for Taco Tuesday. Hey, we appreciate y'all being here. We meet in this room every Sunday at 10 a.m. for worship. And we're glad that you could join us tonight, first Sunday of every month. The next time we will be in this space for the roundtable, Sunday, May 5th. We'd love for you to join us. And this card that I hold in my hand, you're going to get one of these cards on the way out the door tonight. Be safe going home. And we hope that this is a great resource for you and your family to have stimulating conversations around the theme of tonight's roundtable. So thank you for being here. And like I said, be safe going home.
We did it.